It's such a wonderful pleasure to be here this morning. Annell sends her love. Since she broke her hip, she's gone through a little bit of pain. We all go through tribulations and trials in this life. But she's managed to keep a big smile and faith in the Lord.
Amen.
She sends her love, and I told her I'd stay right there with her, but she wanted me to come and be with y'all and send her love to you. She thinks a lot of you. She really does. And it's just indeed a pleasure for me to be with you this morning. And I learned last night how to sleep with one eye open. I had the grandbabies because my son and his wife had to go to a Christmas party. Bless their hearts, they came home early this morning. Excuse me. And as I finished the pancakes for the kids this morning, I was really looking forward to getting here. The Lord puts things on your mind and keeps you looking at the good things, and because Jesus told us that in this world you shall have tribulation. He said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. How precious is that? It's a wonderful thing that we all go through these things. We all have problems. And yet, in the purpose of God, it builds our character. It builds our faith. It draws us closer to God.
Amen.
Without Him, we can do nothing.
Right.
You know, the scripture in Hebrews in the 10th chapter says, the just shall live by faith. And anyone that draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in them. But He tells us faith is that substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we think about hope and all the good things. Hope that is seen is no more hope. But there's a process we go through in life. And I have found in my life, I'm so thankful for the deliverance of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Little things don't bother me like they used to. This morning I got up, jumped in the car, and was ready to get down here. Take me about an hour to get here. And I run up, had to get some gasoline. Pulled up in the gas station about 5 or 6 miles from home. Got out and got the tank open. Pulled the nozzle down. Reached in my back. I didn't have my billfold.
Oh.
So, you know, those things used to bother me.
Yeah.
And it would destroy my whole day. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, on a Sunday, when you're looking towards the Lord, doesn't bother you. I thought, well, I'm going to be late. Used to, I'd think, well, I'm going to have a flat or no telling. I just won't get there. Couldn't enjoy the drive. If you keep your faith in God, that all things will work together for good for those who love God, those who are the called according to His purpose, little things won't get in your way anymore. They used to destroy me. And then we go through these tribulations.
Right.
We go through these problems. And God continues to deliver us.
Right.
Hallelujah to that.
Amen.
He teaches us.
Amen.
There's a purpose and a reason to all things that He does. And sometimes I think in my heart that we go through these things to draw closer to Him.
Amen.
Precious, precious thing in this life. We look around and He tells us, Apostle Paul tells us, to bear one another's burdens. Isn't it nice that we can pray for one another and know that the others are praying for us? And in earnest, bearing our own burdens through one another. You know, in the fourth chapter of 1 Peter, I'd like to start in the 12th verse. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." He says, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with it with exceeding joy." Yeah. "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Right. We go through these things, and yet we have a Savior that we can depend upon, that we can pray to. He is good to hear. It's a marvelous thing that we can think on the good things, even though we're going through these trials. There was a lady told me one time, she said, "You know, it's really hard when it's our turn to show the glory of the Lord." Yeah. But it's a magnificent thing if we see that we're going through these tribulations, going through these problems for the glory of God. Amen. Let's look at the 19th verse. "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator."
Oh, that's
cool. How huge is that?
Yeah. Amen.
Faithful to Him.
Faithful Creator.
In the 6th verse, "Humble yourselves, therefore." This is the 5th chapter. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time."
Right.
There's always the deliverance of God through tribulations. There's always light after darkness. That's what the Scriptures teach us. Excuse me. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." There's a lot of comfort in that, my dear brothers and sisters.
Amen.
We can go through so many things in this life and yet look towards Him.
Right.
And look towards the love spread between your brothers and sisters. And as Jesus prayed to God, may they be one as we are one.
Amen.
How precious is that? "But the God of all peace," this is the 10th verse, "but the God of all peace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while." Think about this as you're going through your tribulations and troubles in this life, because Jesus told us, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. After that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you."
Yeah.
That's what God does for us. When we go through this old world of sin and sorrow, we have the comfort of God if we look by faith to Him.
Amen.
It's all about faith, brothers and sisters. It's all about living in that faith. "Tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope." That experience is the trials that you go through.
Yeah.
Each and every one of us go through these trials. We learn patience from tribulation.
Amen.
We learn experience from the patience. We learn hope. Excuse me. But in the 10th verse, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever."
Amen.
That's where we concentrate.
Amen.
It's about faith. Let me go to the 5th chapter of Romans, because it works right into this, that what the Apostle Paul teaches us. Fifth chapter. Me and my dear friend were talking about this just the other day. It's so good to know that therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
What does that say? Doesn't say we have eternal life because of our faith. It says we have peace.
Right.
We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is faith. Jesus Christ taught us faith.
Right.
From faith to faith, then you can exercise your faith, your God-given faith, that you may continue throughout any tribulation, throughout any other problem. It's no longer about you, but it's showing the love of God, and the glory be to God through anything that we go through. It has to be that state of mind, being the mind of Christ, that we get through these problems in this life. Because we're all going to have them.
Yeah.
We're all suffering in this life of sin and sorrow because of sin. He says, "By whom also we have access by faith into the grace..." "Wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It's all to His glory. It is such a wonderful thing to be able, when we are in the utmost tribulation, where one that you love so dearly and so closely is going through pain and suffering, that you can comfort them with the comfort from the God of all comfort through to them, that they may be comforted. And the way that works is the way that God works, that the way Jesus has taught it to work, that when you comfort others, you are usually comforted more than you were to start with.
Amen.
So the little things don't bother you anymore. Your character is embedded in the love of God.
Right.
Your being is all in Him.
Right.
That you can go through these trials, these tribulations, and still have peace because of the faith. We've got to continue in faith.
Right.
Without faith, it's impossible to please Him.
Amen.
Without faith, it's impossible for us to live in this life.
Amen. Amen.
We've got to look forward into the good things. We've got to hold close to that loving relationship that we have with God. Or I wouldn't be able to smile again.
No, me neither.
There's too many things that we go through. We let the little things, like, "Oh no, I'm going to have to go back and get my gas card," to wreck your day. My dear brothers and sisters, keep your eye on Him. All these things will come together. Remember, I do believe that Scripture points toward a timely situation, not just an eternal situation, about all things work together for good for those who are the called according to His purpose. It's going to come out all right, brothers and sisters. And as long as you keep that attitude and that desire and that want to show His glory, I get so much the feeling of faith from my dear little wife. Because she says, yesterday I made it 12 feet with a walker. And she had a big smile for that. 2 months ago, she wouldn't have thought, oh no, I've got problems if I break my hip. But she's in the tribulation. She makes me feel good by inspiring me and continuing on. And the doctors tell us that the way that you think in your mind is the way you're going to be healed. There are those that get in a state of depression. They get into all kinds of problems because they think in their own mind it's all about them and it's not all about God. But if we look to Him, He delivers us from these things. One thing I want in my life, when I go through those fiery trials, is a closeness to God.
Amen.
And I know each and every one of you want it also. It's so precious to know and have a God that has instilled faith within us. God bless you is my prayer. Thank you for your good attention. It's my pleasure to be here with you this morning.
Good. I'm sure you don't. Well, I wish you just keep right on.
I can't hear you preaching.
You keep right on. Good preaching, my brother.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank the Lord.
Thank you. It's just good to be here.
Just enjoying the preaching so much that I didn't want it to stop and thought everything was going along so well. And I do thank the Lord for everything that we've heard this morning that gives God the honor and the praise and the glory. I want to read one verse in your hearing. The Lord being our helper, I'd like to look at it. Well, I'm going to look at a couple places. Let's look at Romans 13 and begin reading at verse 11 in Romans 13. Romans 13 and verse 11. These verses run right in line with what we've already heard preached from this morning, and that's always a great blessing. Then the wonderful thing that the Bible just works that way. That what you read in one place so often just falls right in line with what you read somewhere else. And that is when it's rightly divided. Here, the Apostle Paul is teaching the brethren, God's children, about how we're to live in this world and how we're to think about, really, I believe, every day of our life and where we are right now. He says in verse 11, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, and now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Now I do with all my heart believe this is talking to God's children. is not talking to just everyone in general in the world, that this is a plan that they are to work or act out in their life to make themselves the children of God, or cause them to be born again, or cause them to be belong to the Lord, or to assure that they die and go to heaven when they die. But this is to God, this is instruction to God's little children who are secure in the shed blood and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, about who you are as God's little children, and because of that, who you are, what you ought to be doing in your life in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. It also tells us that you and I have some responsibility here in this world, that we are answerable unto God, that there's a God who has told us how to live, a God who has directed us in His Word how to live, and that we are accountable unto Him, and we owe our lives unto Him. We don't give our lives in order to be His, but because we are His, we're to live our lives to honor and to praise and to glorify Him. And that is absolutely essential and important to us if we're going to find peace and rest and joy in this world as God's children. It's very much what Brother Darrell has already been presenting to you about living with faith and living in faith and walking in faith in the Lord. It's talking about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not getting something you don't have. That's putting on what God has given you. It's about walking in what God has given you to walk in, that you might be delivered and that you might walk in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. It's also talking about how important that is that we do that. What we do not want to do is become asleep, so to speak, in this world, about who we are as God's children and the importance of our lives and the importance of us trusting in the Lord. And God's little children, even those who know the doctrines of grace and know that Jesus is the reason we all do know that, don't we? The reason we ever get to heaven is going to be through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other access to heaven. It's not through our good works. It's not through our believing. It's not through our accepting Him. It's not through any action on our part. It's through what He did for us as God sent His only begotten Son into this world. Jesus came for His people and He died for them and paid the sin debt for them. And our eternal home and our hope of being there one day with the Lord is based completely on what Jesus did for us. And it's not in what we do or what we've not done or anything like that. It's in His finished work and that alone. And we're to rest in that. We're to have peace with that. But we're not to go to sleep with that. We're to be active. We're to be about our Father's business. We're to remember who we are and what's going on, where we are. We want to know where we are. That's what He says here. He says, and that knowing the time. Do we know the time? Do you know the time this morning? It's important to know the time. It's important to remember where you are. To know the time is to know that I'm not going to always be right now where I am. Isn't that important to know? If you know the time, you know that I am here for just a little while, and this is not my final resting place. This is not my home. I am in a world that's an unfriendly place, that is, in a sense, a waste-howling wilderness that's full of hills and valleys and ups and downs and problems and everything else. And though I'm in a problem or though I'm in a situation right now, because I know the time doesn't mean I'm going to stay right here and I'm going to be here forever. I'm passing through. We're traveling. We're on a journey. It's not a journey that we set before ourselves. It's a race that is set before us. Isn't it good to know there's a race in the lives of God's children that is set before you, that's not set there by your hand? He said to run with patience the race that is set before you. And the one who set it before you is the God of all heaven, who is the Creator, who is the one who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And He has got His eye upon us and His hand upon our lives. And as we're walking along life's way, we want to remember the time that we're just here for a little while. And right now, because we know that, we know some things that you just can't know by nature. We know that the journey has a destination. And we know that the destination is sure. We know that every one of God's little children that Jesus loved and bought and paid for will finally end up in that final destination that He predestined them to be in. That's what predestination is all about. He predestined His people to be conformed to the image of His Son, and every one of His people will meet that final destination, and that's that hope of eternal glory that Peter was talking about. Because of that hope of eternal glory, we realize I may be in some tribulations and troubles now, but though we might be in a storm now, there's a good times, there's a light, after the night, the morning is coming, and we're going to have a final destination where all our problems are going to be over. Isn't that good to know? Isn't it good to know that there's coming a day where there's not going to be any more problems, not going to be any more troubles. And the time we're at right now, where we are, is just a short little time. In the light of eternity, it's just a blink. It's just a moment. We're just here for a little while, and we're soon passing through. And so as we remember the day, we want to remember this. That doesn't mean it is unimportant. It means it's absolutely important that you and I live this day wide open. In other words, this is the day the Lord has made. Isn't that what Psalm 118 says? It says, this is the day the Lord hath made. And it doesn't say, let us. It says, we will rejoice and be glad in it. And I want you to remember the day. I want you to remember the day, what it is. I want you to remember the day on Sunday morning when things seem bright and cheery and you're at church and all the brethren are loving you and you feel the fellowship and the presence of the Lord and everything is going good. I want you to remember the day, but I also want you to know when another day comes and it's not as good and things are difficult and the news that you're hearing is not as good and the trouble is coming, it's still the Lord's day. It's what He is in control of. He is our Creator, and though we may be going through it for a little while, just hang in there, because we're just passing through, and you've been completely equipped with all that you need to face that storm. You have all that you need, and all that you need is summed up in one word, in one precious name, in one glorious person, in one loving, merciful God. And His name is Jesus. And Jesus is my light. That's what the psalmist said. And Jesus is my salvation. And Jesus is my strength. And without Him, I don't have anything. But with Him, I have all the light I need. And with Him, I have all the salvation that I can, that is absolutely sure. And with Him, He is the strength. He is going to be there. He is going to help me. I want to remember the day. I want to remember what He says here. He says, and that knowing the time, I want to know the time. What time is it? I'll tell you what time it is. It's the Lord's time. It's the Lord's day. This is the day the Lord has made. And He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the final destination is secure through the blood of Jesus. And what I'm going through today, He's going to be with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. I see those here in this congregation who have faced difficult times and difficult storms and heartache and problems and death of loved ones and sickness and things where your heart would be torn asunder, and you would not have been able to handle that, would you? Had it not been for the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. Had it not been for His sustaining grace. If it had not been for what He gave you hour by hour and moment by moment through that storm and through that problem. And if we did not keep our eyes on the end, that one day we're going to be with the Lord. One day my loved one who's struggling and having difficulty is going to be with the Lord. And one day I'm going to be with the Lord. And we'll all be with the Lord one glorious day. And until that time, He has many manifold blessings for this day. You see, it's not only at that end that we have some blessings. We have some other promises. It's one of my favorite verses at the end of Psalm 23. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the what? The days. So what does that mean about today? That means it's there for today. What does that mean about tomorrow? It's going to be there for tomorrow. What does that mean about the next day? It's going to be there for that. All the what? All the days of my
life. Does that mean He's going to drop me any day, any given day? Is He going to drop me? No. Sometimes I may not feel it. Sometimes I may not see it. The reason is because, not because He failed, but because I failed to commit my way unto the Lord. Psalmist also said to commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Brethren, that's where we are today. He said this, that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. What I'm saying to you today, every one of us, let's wake up. Let's wake out of sleep. What do you mean by that? I mean, we're not awakening the dead. The gospel doesn't awaken the dead. The gospel awakes God's little children that have gone to sleep, that have allowed the world to creep in, to allow the voices of the world to creep in, to have your life being led by the ideas and the thoughts of the world rather than the teachings of God's Word and what He's laid down in God's Word. God's children cannot lose their eternal life or their eternal home, but they can certainly lose their joys here in this world when they get their eyes off the Lord and drop their shield and don't walk by faith and take off their helmet and don't wear the helmet of salvation and don't wear the armor of God, and they fail to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they fail to commit thy way unto the Lord. What He's saying to us, it isn't about getting Jesus, it's about laying hold to the Jesus that got you a long time ago. See, He reached down and touched your life. He made a difference in you. He brought you out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light. He's the one who's worked a work of grace in your heart. And therefore, you and I are to walk like His child, talk like His child, and behave like His child. And we do that by believing Him, by committing our way unto Him, by remembering, I'm not here in this world just for me. I'm here to honor and glorify the Lord who has made me and created me. And I do that by living my life in adoration to Him and looking to Him and leaning upon Him and trusting not in my own ways or my own thoughts. And the more I do that, the more I'll find the peace and the joy and the rest that the Lord has promised every single day of our life. He says this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. So when you and I get to doubting and get afraid and get scared, we need to remember, I need to wake up. I need to remember, who's God? Our God is in the heavens. He's done whatsoever pleased. He is pleased. Who can handle this situation? God can handle the situation. Who's promised that He will take care of us in every trouble and every trial? The Lord has promised that to us. Can we depend on Him? Can we count on Him? Listen, there is a Savior who came into this world to prove to us that we could. And He died on the cross. And He left the evidence of an empty tomb. And He's seated on the right hand of the Father so that when you and I in our darkest hours go down on our knees in prayer, He hears our prayer, He hears our call. Isn't that good news to know that you have such a friend? What a friend we have in Jesus. We can cast our cares upon Him. Brethren, you and I are obligated to encourage one another to do that, to remind one another to do that. Here the Apostle Paul is telling all of us, wake up. Listen, our church needs to be awakened. We need to be awake. We need to remember who's on the throne. We need to remember when we come together who's able to bless us. We need to remember when it's time for a meeting that this could be and should be the best meeting we've ever had, because it's one that the Lord has allowed us to have. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're looking to Him for that which we stand in need of. And so whether it's a hard thing that's coming or whether it's a highlight that's coming, every day is the same in that we're trusting in the Lord and He's our daily deliverer. Isn't it good to know that we have that kind of God? He says, for now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And I say this is meaning than when we first believed. Isn't it good to know today that we're closer to being with the Lord in heaven than we were yesterday? And we don't know when that day is going to come. We don't know whether He's going to come. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know He's coming? One day He's coming and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and Jesus is going to return, and we're going to be gathered together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Or one day we will go down in death, and immediately upon our death, we'll open our eyes and see Him face to face in His glorious. We'll see Him in all His glory. And that is what we're looking forward to. And that day is closer. We're on a journey. We're on our way. That day is closer than it was when we first believed. We're closer now than we've ever been. So how should we be living? Shouldn't we be excited about that? I'm one day closer home. I'm one day closer there. And I'm not on that way because some people say I'm on, you know, there's a so-called hymn that says I'm on my journey now and I'm going to make it to heaven somehow. And I try to do this and I try to do that. That man is trusting in his own way and in his own ability. And we're not trusting in what we've done for the Lord. We're trusting in what the Lord has done for us. And therefore, the certainty of our end destination is not in our hands. It's in the Lord's hands. And we can rest in that. And that also means you and I can enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. He says, knowing it is high time to awake out of sleep. And now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. He says, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The armor of light is the armor of the Lord Jesus Christ that He gives us to wear. Every part of that is the light of the Lord. The helmet of salvation, our loins girt about with the truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit that we carry into the battle, and the shield of faith that will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And so when those fiery darts come, hold fast to your shield, because that faith will sustain you. It's a prayed for faith. Jesus prayed that it would not fail. That's why it will not fail. One of the fiery darts of the wicked quenched that shield. And sometimes we get hit with those darts, don't we? Well, that's because we've dropped our faith. And brethren, may the Lord bless us to carry, to cast off. There's some putting off. That's what that word means. To cast off is to put off the works of darkness. That's the old flesh, the old man with his deeds. We got a whole lot to deal with that old man. Some of us seem to have more than others, it seems like. I won't pick on anybody here, but we can look around the room. And of course, the only one I can really pick on is the one I look at every morning when I shave. I can look at that fellow in the mirror and I think, boy, that's a whole lot of oots there. And I got a whole lot to deal with and with that. And if it wasn't for the grace of God and the mercy of God, there'd be no hope for me. And what's true for me is also true for you. And because of the grace of God, you have the ability not to be so hard-headed. You have the ability not to be so ornery. You have the ability not to be so quick to speak. You have the ability to live in a way that Jesus has taught you to live. And the reason you have that ability is because you have the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't it high time we walk in the way that He told us to walk? Isn't it high time that we live like God's little children and behave like God's little children? Isn't it high time that we give Him the glory? How much? All of it. For every day. Every day He gives us. Every day He blesses you with. Everything you're able to do. When you're able to hold that cup of coffee. When you're able to walk those 7 or 12 steps. When you're able to do whatever He's able to do, gives you the ability to do. Thank Him for what you're able to do, knowing where it comes from. And as you do that, you let your light so shine before men that others see your good works, and it glorifies your Father which is in heaven. And you're on that journey, and the purpose of our journey is to give God the glory every step of the way. And when God's little children live like that, they live happy, and they live at peace, and they live at rest. In the midst of difficult, hard times. He said, now is our salvation nearer than when the night is far spent, the day is at hand. And let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. That word honestly it means that we're to walk as God's little children. We're to walk as the children of the light. We have the light. We're to walk in the light. We're to share that light. We're to let our light so shine. And it says to walk honestly as in the day. But that's in the light. And not in rioting and drunkenness. Not in chambering and wantonness. Not in strife and envying. That's the old works of darkness that we all have a battle with that we need to put off all the time. And then he says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that every time you put on His armor, you're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ? Every time you walk by faith, you're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you trust in His salvation, you're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you do what He's taught you in His Word, you're showing forth the Lord Jesus Christ, who the one who works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And it's done in a way to give all the honor and the praise and glory to the Lord. He says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and get the last part of this and make not provision for the flesh. Listen, we as God's little children, we don't want to be making provision for the flesh. What does that mean? That means setting things up so that the way we're going to walk is going to be carnal and fleshly. It's to make plans based on carnal and fleshly ideas. It's to abandon God's word. It's to say, I know better than he knows. I know a better way than he knows. I'm going to give you that psalm, and let me get the last verse. To fulfill, he said, to make provision for the flesh and to fulfill the lust thereof. I just want to leave you with this. I've already quoted it, but I might have missed something. Psalm 37 and verse 5, he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. May the Lord bless us all today and every day. To just get up in the morning and say, Lord, this day is in thy hands. My life is in thy hands. You're the one who gave me life. You're the one who created me. You're the one in control. Lord, thou art the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Thou art my creator. Lord, take my life and let it be. Lord, may my hands move where you would have them move. May my eyes go where you would have them to go. Lord, guide me. And when I'm talking about the Lord, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord. I'm talking about God the Father. I'm talking about looking to the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. And every day commit our lives, rather than to thinking about what am I going to get done today, it's going to be about what would the Lord have me to do today? How would he have me to live? And remember, I'm ultimately going to be with him. And oh, shouldn't I live today excited, looking forward? It could be today. And I don't want to miss one single day of fellowship with him. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That's something for us to do. Have we done that? Or do you like me sometimes? You just get up and go through it. Get up in the morning and just go on out the door. I'm going on into the world. I'm not prepared myself one iota. Most of us wouldn't think of not getting, when we got up in the morning, you don't just get up in the morning, go out to bed and go out the door, do you? No, you take care of things. You make sure that everything's okay. You make sure I got the right clothes on. You, depending on what you do, you make sure you got the right preparation. You want to be dressed for appropriately. You want to look the way you're supposed to look in this world. You go out the door. And sometimes we take care of all the natural things and don't think a thing about the most important thing. And that is, we're walking in this world not just to put in the day. I'm here as a little child of God to give glory to the Lord. That is the purpose of my life. And if I miss that, I have not committed my way unto the Lord. If I just go out in the world and say, okay, Lord, I need you now, I haven't committed my way unto the Lord. I want to recognize, God, thou has a purpose for my life, and I want to live that today. If it's to do whatever you call me to do, if I'm off track here, I want to get on track. I want to do different. And Lord, I need you to guide every part of my life and recognize he is in all thy ways. What did he say? Forget him in all thy ways. In some of thy ways acknowledge him. Or did he say, in all thy ways acknowledge him? He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he what? He shall what? Direct. That means he's going to guide. Whose path? Your path. That means your path lines up with his path. And when we get in his way, that is a way of joy and peace and rest. Yes, sometimes difficulty. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When he says to commit thy way unto the Lord, he's not talking about haphazardly. It's talking about getting up in the morning and said, do I have my helmet on? Is salvation in front of me? Do I have my loins girded about the truth? Have I read my word? Have I studied? Have I looked at it? Is it in my mind? Is it what I'm meditating on? Have I got my shoes on? Do I have the gospel of peace on my feet? Am I living what I believe? Am I carrying the sword? Do I have the sword of the Spirit? Am I carrying my shield? Am I holding it where it should be, Lord? And if you think you can do any of that on your own, you're just fooling yourself. The only way you can do it is by and through the grace of Almighty God. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That didn't say he might bring it to pass. He possibly would bring it to pass. He will do it sometimes. It says he shall bring it to pass. I believe that shall is just as good as every other shall in the Bible. Don't you? What does that mean? That means if I trust in the Lord, it's going to be all right. And if I don't trust in the Lord, I'm going to be left as a mess. I'm a mess. I'm a mess without him. And so are you. I love you, but so are you. We can't make it without you. But with him, what did he say? I can do what? All things through Christ, which strengthens me. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
519. I love you, my brother. Give the Lord to praise. God bless you.